Welcome to Aspire. I'm your host, Gregory Penn. Welcome to your new year. This radio program is for January 2nd, 2021. We're going to be looking at, can anything be new? All during the October, believe it or not, and going through mid-December, I was getting these wonderful emails from people about, I think it was the fear in the beginning of Trump winning the the presidential race. And then it got a little deeper and a little deeper and a little deeper. So I kept all these questions because they were good ones. People really do have some wonderful questions. And I always admire that when somebody can offer something extremely intelligent. So I want to thank you for these radio programs, and I want to thank you for making them possible with your questions. They're absolutely wonderful, and I am humbly grateful. Can anything be new is the subject for today, and that's an interesting thought. Can anything ever really be new? Can you be new? Can I be new? Can we become something better maybe than what we are, what we have been in the past? Think about it. When was the last time you really changed? I mean, really changed. You think about all the things that you went through in the course of your lifetime, and when was the last time, you know, it really changed for you? Things happen the way, you know, they needed to happen to help you. You matured. You did something beyond the confines of your intellect, confines of your emotions, confines of your genetic disposition. When was the last time you actually did something that was beyond your desire, your ambition, your pride, maybe your vanity, maybe love? When was the last time you ever looked at the state of your own love and maybe looked at it and thought to yourself, this isn't really love. This is nothing more than bias and prejudice. And well, I don't think many people do that. I don't think many of us look at our biases, our prejudices, and all of that other good stuff that we like to think about as being us. So we just happily go along doing what we do without understanding the consequences of what we do and how they affect our life. I just want to say this before I go into answering the questions. Everything that happens in this lifetime, in this world, happens not for a reason, but as a result of consequence. And the consequences are about our ineptness, our indifference towards love, our indifference towards goodness, mercy, kindness, just our basic indifference. So you have to look at it, if you're being conscious or intelligent, and ask yourself, what is it about me that made all this possible? And that is a very important point. So let's get into the questions. The first one comes from Chad in New Orleans. He asked, Greg, can anything really be new? How do I become new? Is the world going to be new? What will happen? And then he goes into if Trump stays in office. And I don't want to get into that because, first of all, that didn't happen. Second of all, that's a consequence of other things that maybe I can cover in this question. So let's just boil it down to, can anything really be new? Jesus talked about the whole idea of putting old wine into old wineskins, and everybody likes that. But new wine has to be put into new wineskins. It can't be put into old ones. It's a metaphor for how we are going to go about our living. How will we go about our living this year? Is it going to be trudging through our biases, our prejudices, our fears, our angers, our misconceptions of life? How are we going to do that? That's an interesting question. And for most people, they don't change. If you really look, people don't want to change. They will alter a smidgen here and a smidgen there. But really, they won't change because A, they don't know how to change. B, if they were to change, they're not sure what would happen. And C, they're afraid of what other people may think of them if they do change. So most people just stay in their fragmented lifestyle, trying to get through this life. There is this attitude, and I have to admit, you know, for me as both a man, a person, a teacher, it annoys me. It really does. People are content to just get through life. I can't believe that. They're content with that. Just to get through. I don't have any words for it. I really don't. And when you are told or taught or have come to believe that everything you do is just simply okay, everything is just fine, your poop don't stink, and you're like everyone else, you know, thinking in terms of, well, you know, I'm just doing what everybody else is doing, that kind of thing, you got to ask yourself, what is the meaning of your life? Will your life have any significance? And the only significance the average person has is in how they reproduce children. That's about as far as it goes. If you look at your life, how you populated this earth with your genetics, your DNA, probably is the biggest thing you will ever do. And then trying to make an effect on those kids to be as, shall we say, bias as the parents are, your parents, you as parents, all the way down the line. How far does this go? Probably all the way. And people really make this significant, this biological process of just having children. And that's it. Nothing more, nothing less. And I'll make them good people. How would you know? How would you know what good people are? How would you know? And you have to look at yourself and say, am I a good person? And what is good? Like Jesus said, there is none good but God, he said. So if you're doing that kind of thing and you think you're going to find significance in that. So, Chad, you ask, can anything be new? If you're going to do something new, you're going to have to totally break away from this idea of just living in your lifetime and in your life with the idea of getting through. And it isn't about doing better, having an easier, more comfortable life. It isn't about any of that. It isn't the reaction that people have to you and what you're all about. It isn't about that either. If you're waiting for the opinions of others to make you feel good about yourself, what can be new there? I mean, if you favor a person in some way or another, you are going to get accolades. But if you tell them the truth, you're not going to get so many accolades. And if you don't serve them the way they want to be served, again, you're not going to get the accolades. So you got to look at it from different points of view. Can anything really be new? Only in awakening, in the ability we all have to step back beyond our ideas, our genetics, our body, our beliefs, our ideals, to step back further and further and further, to step back far enough to see exactly what we're doing, who we are, what we're doing. What are you doing that is making for the significance of a lifetime that could be very meaningful to you? What are you doing towards that? Is there any possibility of authentic personal metamorphosis, transformation, transcendence? No. So, you know, this would require, Chad, on your part, a tremendous amount of inner work that you probably wouldn't be willing to do. So until it becomes absolutely, in human terms, a life and death situation to you, until you absolutely realize the life and death of all of this, how important all of this is of living and finding true significance in living, until you find that, until that is number one in your life, all you're going to have is going through the motions of living. And that's what most people are content with, going through the motions of their life over and over and over again without any kind of real inner insight or any kind of spiritual awakening where you suddenly realize the beauty that lives within, the beauty that you are as a spiritual being, not as a human being, but as a spiritual being. Until you realize the depth and the width of all of that, you're not going to find any real change. And you're going to have to do what the master talked about. You're going to have to put new wine into new wineskins. You're going to have to change your entire life, and that means your lifestyle, the whole thing. And most people aren't up for that. They're just not. So they choose a religion, a philosophy, a political party, whatever, to emulate their casual and lethargic point of view about their lives. And then when they're laying in a bed and they're suffering or they're dying and they wonder how this could happen to them, then, you know, the chickens come home to roost. That's about what I have seen in my years of hospice work and work with students and the public in general. So there you are. I know that's not the answer you probably wanted. I never give answers that people want. That's what makes me so popular. So please forgive me. Namaste. Next one comes from Howard in Northern California. He says, what can I change about myself and improve my life? Howard, one of the things I have so diligently learned about my own life is it isn't about improvement. It's about awakening. It is about coming to a place of inner awakening. The awakening to what? To the basic authenticity of the universe, the beauty of love in all of this. And my point of view is the very thing that needs to be dropped. If you want to improve, as you say, and that's not a word that I would use, but if you want to change things, if you want to generate, let's say, a new life, a meaningful life, a significant lifestyle, a significant life itself, if you really want to do something amazing, you'll have to drop this idea of what you can do to improve. It isn't about improving, it's about discovering. In the beginning, I have to discover my life. And in essence, most of us assume we've already done that. People are interesting about living. They assume they are living. They assume they understand their life. They assume that what they believe in or what they see or what they hear or what their biases are, their opinions, that they're all true. They assume that. And it comes from how they bend logic and reasoning to their, shall we say, superficialities and the things that they can comprehend mentally and emotionally. And so when I do those kind of things, when I'm living in that kind of dictum, I'm going to find that I have ideas and ideals and beliefs and theories that tell me this is right, this is wrong, this is good, this is bad. We get involved in a lot of falderal about our life. Then we, because we are not that bright, and we really aren't, we assume not only rightness, but we assume that everybody should think this way and does think this way. That's the way we like to go about it. So then the next thing you know, that is the meaning of our life. And that's what we do with our life. We make that the meaning of our existence. Very few people have I found in my life that want to go a little further, a little deeper, beyond the confines of religion and philosophy and belief. Very few people. And why is this? Well, there's lots of reasons for it. It's genetic, it's bias, it's mental acuity. You know, the sad thing about all of us is we have our own mental acuity that we have developed. It isn't just IQ. It's what I have come to believe is true and right. The things I've come to make the circumstance of my living, to make the values of my life. A lot of people just don't have any character at all. They don't see beyond their own thoughts. They can't. Their thoughts confine them to their beliefs, and their beliefs then manifest into their life. And the next thing you know, your beliefs, my beliefs, become the confederate of hostility, vengeance, pride, prejudice. And the next thing you know, we're against each other. We're fighting with each other. We're fighting other people. We're missing the whole thing about what life is all about. We just miss. And the worst part of the miss is that we don't care. We think, well, everybody else is doing it. And that's the way we think. Maybe everybody else is right, and this is fine that I miss, and this is the way people think. So, you ask, what can I change about myself to improve my life? Don't look for improvement. Find your life. Discover it. Search for it. What constitutes life for a Howard? What is the meaning of your life for a Howard? What can life possibly be that would be significant than beyond what Howard might think or might want or might believe in? Explore beyond your mental premise, your biology, your genetics, your DNA. Explore beyond it. Don't confine yourself to your body. Don't confine yourself to your mental acuity. Don't confine yourself to anything. Open up. Spread out inside. Spread out your circumference beyond the ideas and ideals of what you think of as right and wrong or good and bad. Spread it out. Do a little bit more. Inside yourself. Go beyond your emotions. Examine your emotions. Why do they react the way they do? What are they really all about? How do I know these emotions are, you know, real? How do I know that they are something that I should be dealing with or working with? How do I know? What is the meaning of my life? In the significance of love. What is that? Is there any love in my life beyond my emotions? Now you're asking a huge question, a really important one that most people are afraid to come near. Is there a greater love within me than the one I indulge with my emotionality? And what do I use my emotions for? For kinship. So I'm akin to other people. So in that kinship, I am not alone. And that's really what we're saying when we say, I love you. We're saying, thank you for granting me permission to be whatever I am, to hold the prejudices and the precepts that I like to hold, the the opinions I like to hold. And thank you for making it possible for me not to be alone, because I am so afraid of being alone. And that's how it works. And Howard, that would be a huge beginning. So maybe the best thing to do is see how you love, as Buddha said, and what keeps you from the journey. Please forgive me. Namaste. You know, Buddha was right. It is the way we love that keeps us from the journey of significance and meaning. And everybody assumes they know how to love. Everybody's cocky about that, I've found. Last question, Carrie, from Washington State. What is real change in your opinion, Greg? Doesn't sound like most people make that kind of change, Carrie. You're right, Carrie. Most people, they're done at 5 or 6 years old. They're done, really. Toe tag them, send them to the morgue. The rest is just superficial stuff, commentary on the decisions we've made. One of the things, Carrie, I ask of my students is take a look. Where did you decide to be the person you are? And what part of your life? And you will see, if you delve into this, that decision was made out of insecurity and basically when you were a toddler, you know, between the ages of 1 and 6, 1 and 8, in that area. That's where you lived. That's where you had your being. That's what it was all about for you, to live in that kind of mentality. So when you start to look at the meaning of your life and the significance of your living, you have to look at what model you used. And most people aren't originals. So the change would be to be an authentic original, something not based on what you see other people doing. Do you wear the clothes other people wear? Do you eat the food that is available to you, you know, fast food, things like that? What constitutes you and the lifestyle you have? What is your livingness all about? Now, that is something worth looking at. And most people won't look at it. They just will not do it because they don't want to think about it. They just want to go along to get along. They just want their life the way they want their life. Do you understand what I mean? They want it genetically comfortable. They don't want to be challenged, and they certainly do not want changes that they think aren't going to get them what they want. People live for change only if they think it's going to get them something better, something easier. Everybody wants the genie in the bottle kind of thing. And because they want that genie in the bottle, they live for the genie in the bottle. They think, if you teach me how to rub the bottle correctly, then out will come my life and everything is going to be better. And that's just not, there are consequences that you and I put into motion years ago. And they're not about moral consequence. They're about the consequence of the quality of our love. And we never question the quality of our love. And that's the big hooey-dooey. That's the big consequence. See how you love. And I am sure you're going to base it on the convention of human comfort, human belief, human thought, humanity in general, your family, your genetics. Where does your love come from? The genetics of your emotions or the heart of life? You must find that out. I'm out of here. Thank you, Carrie. Please forgive me. Namaste. Well, the first broadcast of the year. I hope it was helpful to you. We'll be back on the air tomorrow. Thank you for listening. And remember, if you have any questions, you can reach me at greg@aspire.org. greg@aspire.org. See you tomorrow. Please forgive me, eh? Namaste.